your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter number 8. We're going to be starting our reading tonight in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 28. When you get to Matthew chapter 8, if you would please stand with me to your feet. All right, Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 28 is where we're going to start reading. We'll read down through verse number 34. It says, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So that the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished into the waters." Now pay attention to these last two verses. It says, And they that kept them fled, and went their way into the city, and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him, not praising him for what he had just done, but they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Now, we live in a day today where many people are trying to get Jesus out of the way. They're trying to get Jesus out of the place where they live and out of their lives, if you will, trying to get him to stay out of their business. But that's not what we're going to talk about, is trading the presence of God for pigs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, I come to you today, God, and I thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. God, I thank you, Lord, for another day that you've given us. God, I thank you for another opportunity to stand behind this desk, Lord, and preach your word. God, I pray that you would just help me tonight, God, to be obedient to you in everything that is said and done. Lord, I pray that, God, if there be one here lost, God, that if they don't know you in the free pardon of sin, God, that they would be saved before it's eternally too late. Use me as your mouthpiece tonight, God. I pray that you would just use us in our weakness, God, because we know that our weakness is made perfect. It makes your strength perfect. Lord, I pray that you would just help us tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 28. He talks about that he came into this place where there were two possessed with devils. This is the same story that we find in Mark chapter number 5 when he's talking about the man Legion possessed with many devils. That's what we find in Mark chapter 5. It's just about identical stories, except in Mark chapter 5 we only hear of Legion. We don't hear of the other man that is talked about here, but we have the same story. In Mark chapter 5, we find out that there were 2,000 of these pigs that ran off this cliff, that ran off down into this ocean and drowned. There were 2,000 pigs is what we find in Mark chapter number 5 and in verse number 32. Jesus told them to go, and he said, when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Look in verse number 33, and it says, and they that kept them fled. And so these men that were keeping these swine fled from this place. They ran away, they were afraid, and they went into the city, and it says, and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And so they had these two men they knew were out here in these caves. It said that people couldn't tame them. People couldn't chain them down. They had so many devils, their physical strength was increased. We find that Legion, there was no chains that could have held him down. They tried tying him down, tried chaining him up, and there was nothing that could hold him in because he was so possessed with these devils. He was possessed with many devils. We don't know the exact number, but he said the reason that he was called Legion was because there was many of them within this man. And so this man was sorely vexed with devils. And so you would think that these people would want those two people to be healed from their possession. You would think that that would be what they were concerned with. But what we find is that when Jesus healed these men of this possession, when he cast the devils out of these men and sent them into the swine, what we find is that the people were afraid that Jesus might come and cause a few more things to go missing. We had 2,000 pigs that were run out into the water. Instead of saying, God, thank you, instead of coming to him and saying, thank you for getting rid of these devils that haunt, that are standing right at the gates. In Mark chapter 5, we find that before Jesus even gets to the city, that legion comes running out to him and falls down before him and says, what have we to do with thee? In verse number 29, more or less is exactly what it's saying in Mark chapter 5. It says, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? He said, the devils are saying, why have you come here already? He said, it's not time. Why have you already come here to torment us? And they say, if you're going to cast us out into these pigs. into the swine. And so what he did, he cast them, 2,000 pigs went running off into the water, And what these people did, they were afraid, and it's likely because that they were afraid that something else might happen. They were afraid of this man Jesus because they had lost a great possession. 2,000 pigs, I'm sure, weren't cheap, even in the first century. I'm sure 2,000 pigs weren't cheap. I'm sure these men that kept these pigs probably put a lot of work into these pigs. But there was something that had to happen. There were these two men that were possessed with devils. And so they were afraid because when he cast out these devils, they went and got rid of their pigs. And so they chose, they were afraid and they said, "We don't want to lose anything else. Please just leave. Depart out of our city. Don't come into our city and get rid of anything else." They were afraid that Jesus might come into their city and a few more things might go missing. They were afraid that maybe their cattle, maybe their sheep, maybe everything they had might be gone. But that's the reality of what in which we live today is that people are afraid of what Jesus might take away from them. They're afraid of what the presence of God might do in their life, in their homes, and in their cities. They're afraid that if they open up and submit themselves to God, that they might lose a few things. That's the fear that torments so many people today, is that if I give in and if I surrender myself to Jesus, he's going to start taking things away. And yes, he is. Yet he is going to take some things away from your life. And if you're afraid of that, I encourage you today, don't be afraid of what Jesus might do in your life. Because he might take some things away. He might get rid of some pigs in your life. And it's likely that these people should not have had pigs in the first place. We find these people probably shouldn't have. If they were Jewish by birth, they should not have had anything to do with pigs. They shouldn't have been eating pigs. They shouldn't have had nothing to do with them. Shouldn't have touched the animals because they were unclean by the law. And so it's likely these people shouldn't have even had these pigs in the first place. But when they were gone, they said, "Jesus, please just leave us. Don't come into our city. Don't ruin what we've built here. Don't take away anything else." But what we realize is that sometimes there's things in our life that stand between God and I. And those things are pigs in God's eyes. They're unclean. Those things that we should not even have nothing to do with in the first place. But when Jesus comes in, those things are going to leave. Those things are going to be gotten rid of in our lives. And we have to be careful that we don't fear that kind of thing in our life, because often we are afraid of what might leave when God comes in. We trade the presence of God for pigs. We say, "Well, I like my life. I'm comfortable with my life. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything. I don't want to go through any struggle. I don't want to go through any hard time." But what they do, by doing this, they're saying, "God, I appreciate you coming to our town, but we'd rather have our pigs. We'd rather have our demon-possessed men at the front gates. We'd rather have these people here than to have your presence in our city, because we're afraid of what else we might lose. We're afraid of what else might go missing in our town." And that's what I want you to understand tonight. If you're afraid of what might go missing in your life, I want to encourage you, first and foremost, that whatever goes missing cannot compare to what he brings when he comes to your life. When he comes in your life, there's nothing that can compare to what he brings with him. God loves you and he wants the best for you. He gave his son to die for you. Even if he gives us nothing else, eternal life is far greater than any short temporary pleasures you might have in this life that you're afraid of losing. So many people will not come to Jesus in their lifetime. So many people will die lost and go into hell holding on to pigs, holding on to the sins in their life that they're afraid to lose, the pleasures in their life that they're afraid to lose. They enjoy the pleasures of sin. If we would be like Moses was, we find out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If we would choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and in submission to God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what we find that Moses did, and we see how it worked out for Moses. In Moses' life, we find that I don't think there was one time that he ever regretted enduring some suffering with the people of God. I don't think he would have rather been on the Egyptian side, do you? The plagues come into Egypt, I don't think he would have rather been an Egyptian. But rather what he chose to do was to suffer with the people of God for a short amount of time than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what God's calling us to tonight, is to leave our sins behind. To repent and turn from those things, because I promise you there's nothing greater in this life than giving your life to Jesus. We find in Matthew chapter number 16, if you will turn with me, should be just a few pages over for you. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24 said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So we find in verse number 24, that's a strong charge from Jesus. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." We have to follow Jesus to the cross and let our flesh be crucified to him. Let our desires be crucified to him. But in verse number 25, we have hope. It says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And so by holding on to your pigs, by holding on to your sin, what you're saying, you are going to lose your life, is what Jesus is telling us. That eventually your life will be lost. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If you'll give up your life and give up your fleshly desires and give it to Jesus, you will find life. That's the promise that we have in Scripture. If you will give up your sin, repent of your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in what He did on the cross and surrender your flesh, surrender everything in your life. That's the old song, I surrender all. It's so hard to live. It truly is, because every now and again we like to try to take back these things in our life, try to bring back our pigs. We try to bring things in a little at a time. And what we do, we're then no longer living in surrender. We have these things that we hold dear, these things that we regard. In verse number 26, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He's asking a question. He says, what is more valuable than your soul? What is more valuable? There's nothing in your life that could be more valuable than an eternity in heaven. There is nothing that could be exchanged. There's nothing. We said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so often, it's pigs. It's pigs that we give in exchange for our soul. It's a short, temporary pleasure is what we exchange for communion with Jesus Christ. He longs for us to commune with Him, and we give in, and we trade the presence of God for pigs. So often we trade the presence of God for pigs. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so what we do is we sacrifice relationship and communion with God by allowing sins to come into our life. If we regard a sin above God, then that sin becomes your God. That becomes your idol in your life. When you start saying, God, I appreciate what you've done for me, but I'm going to go enjoy myself in this sin. You're regarding this sin above God. You're saying, God, I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate you dying on the cross. But what I'm going to do is go and enjoy myself a little bit. I'm going to go and enjoy this sin that I find temporary pleasure in. And we trade an eternity with Jesus. And we trade, and what we choose rather is an eternity of suffering. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, do not let your sin keep you from coming to Jesus. Because right now you might be thinking that there is pleasure in that sin. You might be thinking that there is pleasure and you might think that it seems like it'll never end. This pleasure will never end. But that pleasure, I promise you, is only for a short amount of time. It's only for a short amount of time, and Jesus longs to save you from that sin. Because there is an eternity in hell that is what you will pay by not choosing to follow Jesus Christ. By not choosing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what you choose. But Christians, so often, we sacrifice communion with God. We sacrifice the presence of God for pigs. We give in to small little sins that start so little. And what Satan does, he'll give it just, and if you will, one pig at a time. He'll give it just a little bit, and you will say, well, these ain't so bad. And before you know it, your house is a pig slop. Your life is a mess because you've given in to these sins. Your life will fall apart when you follow after sin. But if you'll walk with Jesus, sometimes your life will fall apart. Sometimes your house will seem like it's falling down all around you. But what if you will build your house on the rock? It will stand through the storms of life. It will stand through the struggles and the things that go on in your life that seem like they will tear you down. It will stand if you will build it on the rock. But if you will build your life on the sand of this world and on pleasure, on sin, on a whole multitude of things that is not Jesus Christ, your life will crumble before your eyes. Everything will fall apart around you, and you'll not understand, and then you'll start calling out to God. When things fall apart, you find that that's often when people call out to God. Don't let that be you tonight. Don't wait till your life falls apart to turn to God and say, well, God, I know I've strayed a little bit. God, I know I've strayed away, and I'm having a hard time right now, so can you please come back and do this favor for me? That's so often how we get, but what I want is to be dwelling with God when the storms come so that I can stand firm on His Word, stand firm in faith, knowing that He will carry me through whatever storm that life may bring. I can trust Him. I can lay down at His feet and know that He will cover me, and He'll cover me with His wings, that He'll protect me from whatever storms may come, but I'm still going to go through the storms. But I'd rather go through the storms with Jesus than without Him. I would rather go with the One who is the master of the sea, that has power. We find in Matthew chapter number 8, right before the passage we just read, Matthew chapter number 8, in verse 26, he says, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and seas obey him? That's the God that we serve, even the winds and seas obey him. No matter what storm may be coming in your life, the winds and seas obey the name of Jesus Christ. The voice of Jesus Christ, they obey. They, even the wind and the sea and the waves, have to bow down at the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus speaks, "Peace be still," over your life, even the sea has to bow down. That's the God that we serve. He's willing to make a way for us in our lives. He's willing to help us in our hardest struggles. But you've got to be willing to lay down your pigs and serve Jesus. Invite the presence of God in your life, even if that means you lose a few pigs. Let God come in and start getting rid of some things in your life that don't belong. You might think that those things are necessary for your life, and things you've been convicted over for years maybe. You might think, well, this thing is necessary in my life. I promise you it's not worth the suffering that you will endure by kicking out the presence of God just to keep your pigs. Let God get rid of the junk and the sin in your life, because I promise you it's worth it to give it to Him. It's worth it to give it to Him. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 19 through 20, we find, "And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." So we find a scribe that comes to Jesus and says, "I want to follow You." You know who we never hear of again in Scripture, as far as I'm aware? We never hear of this scribe again. We never hear of this man that come to Jesus and said, "Hey, I'm going to go and follow You." But when Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." See, now that's a powerful verse of Scripture right there. Where he's saying, there are the foxes, the animals have a place to live, but I do not have a place to live. That's what Jesus did when He came to this earth. He came, He never had a place to lay His head. He never had a place to call His own, but He went and He gave up the life of luxury, the life that He could have lived. He could have been born in a palace. The Christmas season's coming up, and this is the time we start thinking about this again and what Jesus truly did. Jesus came to a manger. He was royalty, born in a stable, born around animals, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger with His mom and His dad, not with royal hosts and servants surrounding Him, willing to serve Him at any moment. He was born and laid in a manger. How beautiful that is, because He could have come and lived the royal life. He is God. Is He not God after all? He is God. He could have come and lived as royalty. He could have come and reigned over anybody that He wanted to, because He is God. He's all-powerful, and He could have done anything, but He came and humbled Himself. He humbled Himself and came as a servant and served those that followed Him. He washed the feet of His dirty disciples. That was what the lowest servant in the house did, was washed feet. The lowest servant in their house, if you were wealthy enough to have servants, your lowest servant would have washed the feet of the people as they come in the door. And that's what Jesus became for us. He became the lowest of the low so that we might be restored to the Father, so that we might be able to come to Him. He went and suffered a criminal's death. He went and He hung on a cross, was crucified so that we might be saved from our sins. How beautiful is that? That God would be willing to humble Himself, and yet we're not willing to give up the finer things in life. We're not willing to give up our pleasures, but He gave up all of heaven. And God gave His very best, His only begotten Son, that we might be saved. And we're not willing to lay down our sins. We're not willing to lay down our temporary pleasures. How sad and how pitiful that is of us. That's awful of us that we're not willing just to lay down our desires for Him. Because that's what He did. He laid down all of royalty that He could have had in His earthly life, and He had none of it. He had not one place to lay His head. And so often, so many of us are as the scribes that is mentioned right here in verse number 18. That we're not willing to go when we find out what it takes. When we find out what we might have to give up, we're not willing to go and follow our Jesus. But if you will come after Him, you must lay down, you must pick up your cross and follow Him. You must lay down your pleasures. You must lay down your sins and follow after Him and put your faith and trust in Him. So today, if you're here and you're lost, that's as simple as it gets. Lay down yourself. Lay it down to Him and put your faith and trust in Him, knowing that what He did is enough to save you from your sin. Come and lay your sin down before Him, lay your desires down before Him, lay your pleasures down before Him, and say, "God, I don't want any of it anymore. God, I want You." That's what God wants from us, is just surrender. He wants us to surrender to Him and trust Him. The old song says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." That's what it takes, is for us to trust and obey what God calls us to do, what God is calling us to. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God," I'm gonna misquote it, I'm gonna go to Hebrews chapter 11 just real quick. I'll come right back to this. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there's going to be some times in your life that it seems like that you're going without, that you're missing out maybe on some things that are going on in the world, some things that you can't do because you're submitted to God. But what we find is that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you'll put your faith in him, it doesn't go unnoticed. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you go down through and read there, about all of the people throughout the Bible that have even some that he couldn't have mentioned because he didn't have enough time. Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the hall of faith. Those that are commemorated for their faith and talked about how strong that their faith was. People like Abraham, like Noah. The list goes on and on and on. I won't spend all night there. But people, if you want to find out what faith looks like, go to the life of these men. A man like Noah, that when God says it's going to rain, starts building a boat. Something he probably had never seen in his life, and he starts building a boat. He starts saying, God said it, and so it's going to be done. A man by the name of Abraham, in his old age, God says, you're going to have a son. Leave this place and go into a place that I'm going to give to you. And he immediately gets up, leaves everything behind, and goes on to this place where God calls him to. And you find there's some hiccups along the way, but as with everything, as human beings, we have some problems, we have some struggles, but if you'll surrender to God, put your faith in God and say, God, I trust that what you say, you will do. Leave your desires, leave your thoughts, your knowledge that you think you have, and leave it with God. What you say, you will do, because that's the promise that we have, is that what God says, he will do. He is faithful that every time he makes a promise, he will do that thing. You don't have to question it, you don't have to doubt it, but God is going to make a way. He will provide for you in each and every way. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So no matter what you might go through, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, I encourage you to do that when you leave here. Well, we're just a couple pages over. Let's turn over. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And so he's saying, don't worry about these things in this life, the fleshly things, the needs of your life, and here's why. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He's saying, so the fowls of the air don't have to struggle for food. And he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, there might be some things in your life that you think that I have to do. I have to supply my own needs. Might be what your thought process is. But if God clothes the grass of the field, if he feeds the fowls of the air, do you not think that he'll do the same for you? He loved you enough to die for you. Do you not think that he would feed you? Do you not think that he would clothe you and give you a place with a roof over your head? And even if he doesn't, his goodness is still declared in our lives. Sometimes we think, well, because things are not going well right now, that God just forgot about me. But what we find is that, but in verse number 33, or in verse number 32 is where we'll start. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So it's not caught God off guard that you need food and water and clothing. He made you that way. He knows that. You've not caught God off guard. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take note, therefore, no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now that right there is a pig in so many people's life. Worrying about all the struggles of life, having anxieties and stresses and worries in their life. So many people are given in to those types of things. They worry about everything. It's all the time. They just wonder what's going to happen to me in my life? What's going to happen to me if I don't go do this, 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 and this, and this? We've got a big long list and say, if I don't do each and every one of these things on this list, oftentimes don't include reading our Bible and praying and spending time with God. Oftentimes don't include those things, but that's if we have extra time is what we often do. We say, well, if I have a little bit extra time, I'll spend time in the Word. But on our priority list, we have so many things and we worry about these things. We worry about all these things, but what God is saying to us is, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. He's telling us that he knows our needs. He knows what needs we have in our life. And if you'll submit and surrender to him, trust him to take care of those needs, he will do that for you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. And so many Christians are taken in anxiety. So many Christians are taken with stress and worries of life. But what we know is that we can give it to him. Lay it down at his feet, and the God who created you and knows your needs will meet those needs. Now, we might not have all the wants that we have in our life, but he will meet those needs in our lives. He will give us what we need when we need it. And if you will, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. I'll be coming to a close here in just a few minutes. Philippians chapter number 4. We'll start in verse number 6. Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Say amen if you're there. All right, I'll give you just another few more minutes. All right, I'm hearing a few more come through there. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." Now, pretty often we like to look at verse number 7 by itself without verse number 6. We'll read verse number 7 here in just a second. But verse number 6 is what it takes to have number 7. You've got to have verse number 6 in order to have number 7. We can't do one without the other. In verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing. Leave your worry behind. Don't worry and stress and strive over all the things of this life, but in everything by prayer and supplication." So by prayer, communion with God, communing with him and talking with God, and supplication, bringing your needs to God, letting your requests be made known. And with thanksgiving, that's an important part that we often don't use, having gratitude, being grateful for what God has given us. "Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that's the promise that we have, is if you'll bring your needs before him, if you'll be thankful for what you've got, you'll come before him and lay it down at his feet, then you'll have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Christians don't just automatically have this peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That's what we've got to understand, is that right there at the beginning of verse number 7, what's the first word? Anybody? And. Which means there's something before that that I have to read in order to have verse number 7. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you'll trust him and you'll lay your needs down at his feet, he will give you peace. And it'll be beyond your understanding. You might be in the hardest storm of your life, in the worst struggle of your life, but if you'll lay them down, you'll lay your needs down at Jesus' feet, you'll have that peace of God. You'll have that peace of God which you can't even understand. Even in the midst of the harshest storms, the worst storms of your life, you might find peace if you'll lay it down at his feet. There's things we can't understand in this life, things that go on that we may never understand. But what we can find in Jesus is peace. We can have peace in him. And look in verse number 10, and we'll read through verse number 13, and I'll get ready to come to a close in just a minute. And it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." So he's writing to the Philippian church, and he's saying, "I appreciate what you tried to do for me." He's thanking them for what needs they tried to meet for Paul. He said, "But you lacked opportunity." So they weren't able to meet the need fully that Paul had. But look at what Paul says. Now, this is the mindset that's going to help you get peace, that's going to help you be content. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I can be content with nothing. When I lack, I can be content because I know the God that loves me and that died for me. I know that when you put your faith in him, you can have this peace, knowing that he will meet my need, and you can be content in that. You can find contentment in knowing that what God promised he will do, he will do. In verse number 12, it says, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And before we jump right into verse number 13, verse number 13 is another one like verse number 7 we like to use as a standalone passage. But what we have to understand is that in verse number 12, he says, "I know how to be full and to be hungry." He doesn't say, "I know how to be hungry and how not to be hungry when I get hungry." He's saying, "When I call out to God, I'll no longer be hungry." That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, "I know how to be hungry and I know how to be full." And so even if I'm hungry, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can endure another day. I can go on another day, whether I'm abased or whether I'm abounding, whether I am full or whether I'm hungry, whether I abound or whether I suffer need. I can be content. I can do all things. I can endure just another day because I know who Christ is and what he has done for me. I know that he loves me and I know that he cares for me. And if I lay my needs down at his feet and say, God, I submit and surrender myself to you, then he will take care of our needs. He will provide our every need if you'll lay it down at his feet, and he'll give you the strength to go on another day, to endure whatever storm you might be in. He'll give you the strength to endure hunger. He'll give you the strength to endure when you suffer need. When you have a need in your life that you need met, he'll give you the strength to endure. You're struggling financially. He may not give you $1 million here in the next couple days if you start praying. But what he will do is he'll give you the strength to endure. He'll give you peace if you'll put your faith in him. If you'll trust him, he'll give you the strength to endure. That's the God that we serve, is that he walks right with us. He knows that we're going to suffer, and he promises that we're going to suffer. He that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what we know. That's the promise that we have in him, is that whatever we might be going through, whatever life may bring our way, we're going to know that he loves us and that he cares for our needs. He cares what we might be going through, and we know that we're going to struggle, but we know that he'll be right there along the way with us. He'll be walking right by our side. Romans 8 and 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So no matter what may come in my life, there's nothing that can be compared to what God is going to do in my life. Romans 8 and 28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." But what we like to do with that verse is what we like to do with these other two I've talked about. We like to just read that first part. We like to read, "For we know that all things work together for good," and we like to stop there. But it's to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you'll love God and you'll submit to him, he will work everything in your life, every struggle, every storm that you might go through, and he'll work it for good. It may not seem like it in the start. It may not ever seem like it on this side of eternity. You might not ever feel like that God is working this for good, but I promise you that if you'll love God, if you'll serve him and submit to him, all of the things that you might be going through, he will work it for your good. And that's what I want to encourage you in tonight, is that you, when you have the presence of God in your life, when you're submitted to him and serving him, you'll get rid of the pigs in your life. When you no longer trade the presence of God for pigs, what you'll find is that he'll walk with you. He'll give you peace. When you start surrendering to him, giving things up, he'll start taking those things and getting rid of them. He'll get rid of them, and he'll help you to walk and strengthen you along the way if you'll surrender to him and put your faith and trust in him. At this time, I'd ask you to get a song of invitation ready, but the challenge to you tonight is, if you're lost, please come and find out what I'm talking about. Come and lay it down at Jesus' feet. Allow him to take these burdens from you. You've got these things in your life that you can't explain that you're going through. He wants to help you and walk through those things with you. He wants to deliver you from your sin. He wants to save you from your sin, and all you've got to do is put your faith and trust in him, knowing that what he did on the cross, the blood that he shed, is enough to pay for the sin that you've committed in your life, to pay for that sin and take the place of you. The Bible says that he is our propitiation, which means he's our substitute. He took my place on the cross. He became sin for me. He became sin and laid down his life so that he might pay the price for me, because what I deserved was death. Because of my sin, I deserved death. And what he did, he paid that price for me that I might be saved. Don't go on another day wondering if this thing is real. Come and pray. Come and ask God to reveal himself to you. Come and put your faith in him. Trust him that what he has done is enough. I promise you that it is. But today, if you're a Christian, you may be here and you've got some pigs in your life that you need to get rid of, that you need to be willing to let God take from you. The presence of God is not something that should be forfeited easily. It should not ever be forfeited in a Christian's life, because the presence of God is crucial to you being able to go on another day. To have that peace, you've got to have the presence of God. God loves you today, and if you're a Christian, if you're lost, regardless of who you are, he wants you to dwell in his presence. He wants it to live in your life and to get rid of the junk in your life so that you might walk more closely with him. I'd ask you, if you would, stand to your feet. It's time. If you've got a need, please come and lay it down at Jesus' feet. He loves you, and he wants to give you that peace. He wants to help you and walk with you through the storms of life and through the struggles of life. I'm not going to promise you he's going to take your storms away, but what I promise you is that he'll meet you here. He'll meet you here, and he'll walk with you as long as you'll dwell with him. As long as you'll walk with him, he'll walk with you. And I believe that's the promise that we have in Jesus Christ tonight. As they sing, if you have a need, please come and lay it down at his feet. Don't take your burdens home. Come and lay them down at Jesus' feet. trust and obey. Bring it to Jesus' feet. He loves you tonight. Come on. Don't carry it home. He loves you. I'm going to ask you to sing one more verse of a song here in just a second. If you have a need, please come home, come and bring it to Jesus' feet tonight. And I know that seems like it might be embarrassing, like there's people might think something bad about you, but I promise you, one thing is that I'll meet you here, and I'll pray with you, and I will pray with you, and I'll pray with you as long as you want. If we're here till midnight, I'll pray with you. I want you to find that deliverance and find that peace that I have, that I've learned in times in my life that I have had it and that I've not had it, and that I've sacrificed it at times. But God wants to help you and bring you that peace. Come and lay it down at His feet. I want you to have that tonight. I want you to have that peace. I want you to have His presence in your life. If you would, please sing this last verse. Lay it down at His feet. Jesus loves you. Thank you for your time and attention tonight. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to this brother here. I thank you for coming, and I pray that if you're not dwelling in His presence, that He would show up in a way in your life that you would know Him. He loves you, and He cares for you. Don't carry your burdens another day, but let Him take them from you. He loves you. If you're not saved, He wants to save you.